I've been asking this question for myself for quite a long time while I was brushing my teeth now for these past 2 months. Saying, God, if the same anointing is in the church that was there the day that Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, would I be still standing? If that same anointing comes in here, would I be still standing here? You can answer that for yourself. I can't answer for you, but I've been wrestling with this and grappling with this because I know obedience is something really close to God's heart. He's a gracious God. He's a loving Father. But I think we have to read in John chapter 17, verse 4 to 5, that says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus accomplished the work that the Father gave him to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I just want you to look at that scripture. It's something really powerful. It's something really tremendously blessed to me. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer. But Jesus accomplished the work, brought the work that his dad gave him. Now, this is important that I want you to catch here this evening. Most of us are obedient to God for what we can get out of it. Most of us are obedient to God because it's the right thing to do. Most of us are obedient to God because, and I'm laughing, most of us are obedient to God because we don't want anything bad to happen to us. But can you flight that scripture again? Jesus was obedient to God because he glorified God. It wasn't about him. He said, God, I accomplished the work that you gave. In other words, God, I was obedient to what you told me. And because I was obedient, I glorified you. In other words, God, my obedience was worship. My obedience isn't something that keeps me out of trouble. My obedience isn't something that just blesses me. My obedience towards you and my allegiance and my loyalty towards you and your word is to bring glory to you. I'm not obedient to look important. I'm not obedient to make a statement. I'm obedient because I want to bring glory to you. I accomplished everything that you've given me on this earth. I've done it. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus now says, Dad, can you remember those days, Dad, in the Garden of Eden before the fall? Do you remember that glory that I had there, Dad? God, Dad, I want you to restore me back to that glory again. But that glory brings glory to God. And so there is a huge mind shift when it comes to obedience that I believe the church needs to make. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was obedient to the point of death. That shaming death, he brought glory to his Father. He worshipped while he hung on the cross. If you want to know how worship looks like in your most evil hell, it's when Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. Now that's worship. Now that's obedience. To the point of death, Jesus said, Father, I bring myself to you. Everything about me says something about you. God, I'm not in my regal glory. I'm naked. I'm stark naked. Jesus didn't have a nappy on like they had it in the Passion of the Christ. It was a cruel thing in those days. Jesus hung naked there. Everybody looked at him. But he was obedient to the point of death. So what is obedience? Obedience is a willingness to submit to the authority of someone else and to actually do what one is asked or told to do. That's obedience. We're going to look at it tonight. It's a really important thing that we need to get right. So the elements of obedience that brings glory to God, as we see in that definition, is we have the ability, we must have the willingness. In other words, you have the ability to be obedient. I have the ability to be obedient, but we must be willing to be obedient. Now, when you're willing, it's all about your heart's attitude. Do you have a willing heart? Or do you have a stubborn heart? Like David says here, is there anybody with depression here? If you have depression, then you must come because God wants to touch you. That word must speak to you. It must be something that the Holy Spirit says inside of you, I must have a willing heart to go. It's my will. I have the ability because I must walk. That's the one element. We look at it again a little bit later in the sermon. Secondly, we must take responsibility, our willing submission. You see, so many people, they have the ability to do something, but they don't want to take the responsibility that comes with it. You can't work like that. If you have the ability to pray for people, then you must take the responsibility that comes with that ability. Now watch this. It's something that I recently discovered. Maybe you know it. The ability and the responsibility gives us authority to act on behalf of what Christ says. In other words, when we're obedient, like when Jesus said, Father, I glorify you through my obedience, Jesus is saying, look, your dad, there's something that I want to tell you. I represent you. And the way that I represent you on earth through my obedience brings glory to you. So God, through my ability and the responsibility that I took upon myself, I know that I have the authority. But you know how does it work in Christian circles? Do you know how does it work? People want the authority. But you can't have authority if you don't want to take responsibility. I can remember when we were still at school, all the teachers wanted to know from the principal, now why can't they hear this information? And I figured it out a long time ago. Why do you want to hear information? What are you going to do about it? I can remember Alma and I, we had to make a decision. And we were at a stage where we were sensing that people were robbing her. You know, behind closed doors, schemes, financially. So the only way that we could find that out was by getting inside info about the information that we needed. In other words, we had to get it in black and white. So we spoke to her father, and her dad was supposed to organize an accountant so that he can check the books, so that we can see if they're actually robbing her. And so her dad just asked something. Now, if he's going to do that, what are you going to do with the information? And so I thought, oh, I never thought of it. If I do have the information, what am I going to do with that information? Am I going to take responsibility for what happened? And we had to have a talk, you know, like the way we met each other, you know. It was just a bad fight that night. And an ex-boyfriend is involved. And it's just such a bad thing. But now after a while, you know, when the police comes to you and you think, God, now how long must this case go on? God, do I really have to go stand in court? So now every time they come to see, they say, look, is this still the statement? Yes. You know how it works with court cases. Oh, it's one long drag. That's why Jesus says, you know, before you go there, settle yourself. But now if you can't, then you can't, you know. So now at the end, we had to make a decision. We just said, look here, drop this case. Because you know what? I've learned that with the ability and the responsibility of being obedient, you must have authority from God. But then you must tell yourself, if I'm going to do this thing, if I am going to be obedient, I'm going to take full responsibility. And that is what God expects from us. If we need to expose darkness, then we need to take responsibility. Are you with me? So you can have the ability. Just remember, you must also have responsibility. Responsibility comes with your ability. But a lot of people want the authority, but they don't want to take responsibility. Are you with me? We're talking about obedience, elements of obedience that brings glory to God. It's simple. Somebody comes and somebody tells me, yeah, I won't serve God. I won't serve Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. It's simple for me. Well, okay, take all the world's sin upon yourself. You'll get a few people to hit, to beat you with machetes and with pangas and knopkiris. And then we'll kick you around. And then we'll hang you on a cross. Then you die. Then when we bury you, I want you to get up after the third day. Then you rise. You rise up from the dead. And then you go to God. If you can do that, then I'll worship you. If you can't do that, I won't worship you. If you're not obedient to the point of death like Jesus was, then there's no point in me arguing with you about worship. Because obedience brings worship to God. Are you with me? What I'm saying? Jesus proved himself in his ability, in his responsibility, and in his authority. He's the authoritative one when it comes to obedience. And when he wants allegiance towards him, his loyalty, that is what he expects. Check this out. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. The law of first mention. The law of first mention is every place in the Bible where everything is mentioned for the first time. The first command that man gets, don't eat from the fruit of that fruit. Bob, you shouldn't eat that. Why? Obedience always comes as a command. Obedience is never a suggestion. God doesn't suggest that you shouldn't sleep with another lady or another man before you are married. It's not a suggestion. God says, no, don't do it. You're opening yourself up for so much evil. God doesn't suggest to me, love your wife. God says, I suggest to you that you love your wife. You start loving her. Hey, I'm God, so I want you to listen to me. I place before you two trees. Now I want you to choose. Do you want to love your wife? Don't you? God says, love your wives. Scripture teaches, love your wife. Scripture says to women, be obedient to your husbands. Be submissive to your own husbands. Now I wonder where the suggestion is. But you know, just like the two trees, what I learned from that, obedience protects us from the evil and the dead, because Jesus says, now, you can choose the two trees. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose evil or you can choose bad. So obedience makes us discern and protects us from those two things. So what I am going to talk about now is the representatives of God's authority. Obedience to these representatives is a command. So now we're going to get practical. And I'll tell you why do I really want to get practical with this obedience thing. And you'll understand now. And I'm going to say some things, maybe it's going to offend some people, but before you get offended, before you get angry with me, I just want you just to listen. To just take your time and just go check if I'm talking nonsense. If I'm talking nonsense, then you know where the office is. You can email me, you can come and you can talk to me. But God has representatives. In other words, God says there's people that must represent my authority on earth. The first place is the home. Husbands and parents. Children must be obedient to their parents. Wives must be obedient to their husbands. Peter teaches this. The second place, government. Masters, the master is your boss, your boss, your manager. Scripture teaches we must be obedient to them. Then rulers, your Jacob Zumas, dignitaries. This morning there was a dignitary in the church, a principal. It was beautiful. A young court just honored the man. When dignitaries come, scripture teachers speak well of dignitaries. It gets interesting. Then, church, elders, overseers, deacons. Scripture teaches that we must be obedient to elders, to leaders within church. Now, tonight, I'm only going to talk about two. I'm going to talk about the obedience of children to their parents. Then I'm going to talk about obedience of people in church towards church leadership. Why? I'll tell you why. All of us are children. All of us were born, I think so. I hope so. You were born, Bob. Nobody's from another planet here. I just want to make sure. Everybody has parents. So if you do have a mom and a dad, you were born. Secondly, I'm going to talk about church leadership, because every one of us, we are under church leadership. I'm also a man under authority. I also get my commands from a commander and a chief officer. Are you with me? So let's start with the home. Let's start with the home, Wani. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not wrong, it's right. Now, your children, your parents in the Lord, it doesn't mean that your mom and your dad needs to be saved. Paul teaches that God in the Lord, God is the one that gave you your parents. Your parents in the Lord. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents when they are saved and they have Jesus Christ and they're on the deacon board. Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches that you should be obedient to your parents even though they do not serve Christ. Scripture doesn't teach that you must sin with your parents. Or if they tell you to sin, that you must sin. If your parents tell you to sin, you should say no. And nobody said, if nobody has said this to you, I'm going to say it to you. If they ask you to sin and you say no, you must bear the consequences of being obedient. There's no other way around this. So many people that I talked to, and they told me, look, I told my dad I can't do this. They were so angry with me when I told them I can't do this. But it is right. It's really important that children, you need to understand this thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out into deep darkness. That's a scary scripture. That's a scary scripture. The lamp represents your joy. The lamp represents life. It represents everything that comes with blessing, light. Scripture teaches your lamp will be put out into deep darkness. It's going to get quiet here. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. God had a way of dealing with this. And I know it's scary for some people, but I'll explain it to you now. I just want to make it clear, we don't stone people anymore. Don't worry. We won't stone you. You will never be a stone's throw away. Don't worry. Yeah. Anyway, but scripture teaches you something really important. If you read it, you see this boy that God is describing. When you want to stone this boy or this lady or whatever, It's a stubbornness. They don't want to go away. It's a rebellion. It's woefully and deliberately denying God's authority over long periods of time. Just go to the top of the scripture. Even man has a, verse 18, even man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. So the father has spoken to the child. The mother has spoken to them. And they have disciplined him. And he will still not listen. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of that city. So now they must bring him to the elders. Now, there must be consent. Do you see there? The mother can't say no and the father yes. Both of them must have consent when they bring the child before the elders. And they shall say to the elders, this is our son stubborn. He's rebellious. He will not listen to our voice. He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. Now they stone the brother. Why did God put this scripture in the Bible? Why did God put this scripture in the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because disobedience to parents is a serious thing when it comes to God. It's a real serious thing. I don't care if your parents are not saved and if you are saved. If you disrespect them, I can tell you this is how God feels about it. This is how God feels about it. Now, we're not stoning any people. And if you look at just the beautiful grace that Jesus brought by the law, through the law, where Jesus came and Jesus said, like the prodigal son, he could have been stoned, but it's not the father's will. The father welcomes the prodigal son home. So I thank Jesus for that. But that doesn't mean that God is not serious. This is a picture of how serious God is about obedience when it comes to the home. Now, I haven't read about a boy or a girl in scripture that has been stoned to death. I haven't read it. So I never knew if the law came into place as according to scripture. I know about disobedient guys, Achan and the guys, you know, in the time of Judges and in the time of Joshua. There were a few guys, you know, But people, I can tell you also this. I don't think any parent would want this for his or her child. I can tell you that. I won't have the heart to do it. And so please don't go throw stones now. The reason why I'm showing you this is to show you how serious God is about this thing. You'll understand now as we go on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 5 teaches, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Disobedience to parents is a characteristic of the last days. It represents a time when authority will be challenged. So much authority figures in our homes and in our institutions are being challenged. The home as an institution, government as an institution, the church as an institution. So many people are just challenging authority and they don't know how serious God is about it. They don't know. People don't have a clue. Lawlessness abounds. Everywhere. We really live in the time of judges where everybody is doing what was right in their own eyes. We're really living in those times. I can tell you this. Church leadership, watch this. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable to you. Do you know, if I must make it difficult for Pastor Fred, God's going to judge me one day. Pastor Fred, he's our leader. Or anybody from HQ. If I must make it really... Scripture said I shouldn't make it difficult for them. Let them do so with joy. My leaders must be my leaders with joy. When I come into Pastor Fred's office, he must say, oh my, we're going to have a wonderful... It's a joyous occasion. He shouldn't be grieved, thinking, oh, he comes again. I'm going to fire this man. And it wouldn't be, it's unprofitable for me. Now, I must preach on this thing two ways. I must preach from the leader side because there's responsibilities from the leader side also. I'll get to that. Not now. No. Go back. Back, Wani. No. The scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews. In other words, there's a ruling that leaders, spiritual leaders, must get right. Secondly, I'm going to give account one day. With my ability and with my responsibility comes authority, but I'm going to give account one day. No, Wani. You must stay there with the scripture. There you are. And I must still talk about when you're in leadership, when you must give account. I must talk about that still. But for now, I just want to talk about us being obedient to our spiritual leaders. You know, it's a serious thing when you come into insubordination. It's a serious thing with the Lord. And I'm going to talk about this now. Obedience to church leadership. Obedience means you're obedient in your actions. Submission means your attitude. Now, a lot of people, they don't get this, but I'm going to teach it to you now, and I want it to be a blessing to you. Watch this. Trevor is leader at Springbok. So now he tells a team of men, look here, I want this to be done in this way. What I want you to do, I want you to pack out the chairs forward the back. Behind that, I want you to put the guitar. And next to the guitar, I want the bass guitar. I want it done like that, please. I would appreciate it. We're coming here tonight. So now, I'm going to sketch to you the first scenario. Everybody does it. They do it. But they moan within their hearts. Why must I also do this? Who come with Ekanal to do? Can't they do it themselves? Shoo. What's wrong with them asking me? There's no blessing on that. If you want a blessing, your attitude must match your actions. Then you give the second scenario. They just don't do it. There's not a blessing on that also. And I'll prove it to you from Scripture. Yielding to authority allows for growth. You will never grow if you don't understand that you are under authority. You can never grow. Never. If you haven't learned how to submit, if you've never learned to serve another man's vision, watch now what I'm saying. If you've never learned to serve another man's vision, you will always fight for your own vision. You must learn to lay your life down for another man's vision. It's some powerful stuff that I'm teaching you here. A lot of people don't know it, they don't want to hear it, and a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. It's not dictatorship, but an exercise of godly leadership. In other words, leaders must exercise godly leadership. They must exercise it. Jesus teaches, don't lord it over people. You can't lord it over people. You can't force people. In other words, if somebody doesn't want to do as leader what's expected of them, you must have a chat with them. And if they can't comply and they can't see and they can't yield to the authority, it's best you part ways. It's best you say, hey, blessed man. You're not seeing what God wants to do through me in your life. Arrivederci. Keep safe. Leaders should not abuse, but relationships should be treasured when it comes to authority. I'll tell you, I don't know this, I really don't know this thing. I don't understand this thing. When I came to the Lord, the only thing that I knew is that I want to serve a man. So this thing that pops up now in church and in script in the world, I don't understand it. And I can tell you this, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. If your leader, I'm talking about church leadership now, asks you to do something, and in your mind you're thinking a whole lot of other stuff that is not honoring, I can tell you, you've opened yourself up for demonic ministry. I've seen this so many times. I'm sending out a warning to you, because I must give account. There is why I need to talk about this. I'm not going to put it under the cover, you know, under the carpet. But this is serious stuff. Watch your heart with all diligence, because out of it spring the issues of life. Watch your hearts. If something is expected of you to do it with a submissive heart and with joy. I know there's some people that don't like to hear this, but I must tell you this. As soon as you start thinking, no, I'll do it my way. Do you know Frank Sinatra? Hey, I'm not going to sing Fly Me to the Moon. Which one am I going to sing now? I did it my way. As soon as you start singing there in your mind, I'm going to do it my way, I can tell you, you're off the track. It's funny, Patav. I can tell you this. You've opened yourself up for demonic ministry. Watch your heart with all diligence. Look what Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16 to 19 says. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing, and if you're obedient, then you shall eat the fruit of the good fruit. Oh, I love scripture. I love the challenge it holds before us. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 to 10. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even his own. It's interesting that Jesus also connects. Now, this is a whole new sermon, obedience with faith. Obedience is connected to faith. In this case that I'm preaching about now, remember what I'm preaching about? Obedience is connected to worship that brings glory to God. That is why when we are disobedient to our leaders, when we are disobedient to our parents, we don't bring glory to God. We don't bring glory to God. You know this, honor and respect authority, sovereign authority, the conscience, the next slide, moral authority, authority of scripture, love with the truth, functional authority, official authority, and the authority of custom. I've preached on this. Guys, this is serious stuff. If you want to know how somebody's relationship with the Holy Spirit is, check out their relationship with their brothers and check out their brothers in Christ. Check out their relationship with their leaders. You pick up on it immediately. We're talking about obedience that brings glory to God. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about the definition where Jesus said, Father, I'm obedient to the point of death. We're talking about obedience where Jesus, in his prayer, said, not my will, but your will. Woo, now it gets really serious. This thing is going to be really important. Now, I hope I can do this. But when it comes to the relationship week, I'll talk about the husband and the wife. Why should they be obedient to them? And to the husbands that thinks, Scripture doesn't teach it, I should be obedient to my wife. Have you ever read the scripture where Sarah told Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, cast her out with Ishmael? And then Abram said, thought within his heart, scripture said, he thought that it was evil. And then the Lord told him, Abraham, it's not evil. Listen to your wife. Cast out the bondwoman, because Isaac is the one through which the... So we must listen to our wives sometimes. Yeah, if you listen to them... No, it's funny. It's funny why she would say, cast out the bondwoman. But she also told Abraham, sleep with him. She told him, sleep with him. Are you with me? It's just what I am going to teach on with the relationship week is, how do you discern God in your partner's life? How do you discern this is God speaking? I'm going to do a series on that. I'm going to teach on that. How do you see this is God operating through my wife, or this is just the flesh? What do you do when you see that? What does a wife do when she sees this is just my husband's flesh operating? It's not the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to talk about this because it's important. You know why it's important? Because it speaks about obedience. So, how are we going to facilitate this? Can I tell you why? Jody, when she responds to the altar call, or she says, this is the challenge in my life, and she says, I feel the Lord is telling me this, then from now on, we're going to put timelines on it. Okay, Jody, you have till next week, Tuesday, to do it. Can I keep you accountable to it? You must be obedient to God. So, Jody, you're going to do it Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll talk about it. Is it fine with you, Jody? Oh, I don't know. Jody, is this what... Yes, it's what God says. Then, Jody, do what God says. Small readers, friends, or whenever you take leaves, we ask people, look here, I want this to be done. Then I want you to go back and you must start asking, why didn't you do it as the way I expected it? I expected it from you to do it this way. Why did you follow your own heart and your own mind in this thing? When it comes to battle and being in authority, and we recognize authority in the Spirit over someone, Joshua, Moses, Peter, Paul, they don't make suggestions. They say, this is what we're going to do. We do it that way. When we talk about obedience, when we have to walk 7 days around Jericho and nobody's supposed to speak, then we're obedient. Now, that's a silly task to do. If you walk around the city and everybody is just sitting there with arrows, with boulders, they sit there with these pots of boiling tar. They can kill you, but now Joshua says we must keep our mouth shut for 7 days and walk. Isn't he crazy? They're going to kill us. You're obedient. You ever read the story where Saul told David, if you want my daughter, you must bring 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Have you read that in scripture? And how David came with the 100 foreskins and said, Saul, is it now? I always figure out now, in what did he carry it? How did he do it? I don't know. Because scripture says he came to Saul, he says, here's the 100 foreskins. Where's my wife? Now what Saul asked him wasn't a sin. It was part of war. You don't sin when your leader asks you to sin. But even if the command is obscure, like bringing 100 foreskins, you bring it. Scripture shows it. David came, he said, here's it.
Where's my wife?
Now, I don't know if they counted it. I don't know. This is how my mind works. You know, I don't want to be crude or rude. But there's some funny things in Scripture that I can't figure out. I just can't figure it out. I can't figure this out. I'll tell you. But what I do know from Scripture, every man of God, they have an understanding of an authority and they have an understanding of what obedience is. Jesus had to learn the Torah through his parents. Did you know that? He had to go to the synagogues daily to learn the Torah, the first five books. It was a custom for Jewish boys to do that. Jesus was obedient. He waited 30 years in obedience. He waited before he launched his ministry. Jesus was obedient to his parents. In the Jewish custom, the father and the bondservant, they taught the son a trade. That's why Jesus was a carpenter. His father taught him. Now, can you think royalty, regal God, as a son, being obedient to a father that's a mere carpenter, saying, "Dad, teach me this trade." Still the Messiah, still the King, still the only Savior, but obedient. He washes feet. He's a foot washer. In his regal glory, he washes feet. I can tell you this. There's going to come some major changes. And all that I just want you is to stay accountable to the things you need to be. At this moment, my biggest fights, and I call it fights, it's not fights, but I call it fights. My biggest fights with people is, are you obedient to the Holy Spirit? Are you doing what God is saying you must do? Are you honoring your leaders? Are you rude and obnoxious? If Chris told you to do this, why didn't you do it? If David asked all of you to be at worship practice, why weren't you at worship practice? Why do you leave when you want to leave and why do you come when you want to come? Why did you just leave everything? Why do they have to struggle to get you at practice? Why can't you be on time? Have respect and just say, look here, I'm going to be, are you with me what I'm talking about? I'm talking about obedience. And what I failed to say before I spoke about the children, parents, if you're disobedient, don't expect your children to be obedient. Because you've opened the door. You don't impart what you say, you impart who you are. Challenging times, but I love it. Guys, I don't know this. Really, you can ask Elmer. This thing that's happening now, people not being obedient to what is asked of them and other shit, I don't know. I really don't know this. I know no other way. I came into ministry in 4 years' time. I'll tell you why. As I've worked this through with God, I just had to give up so much. Say, God, I don't want anything of myself anymore. God, your way. And God, whatever Hercules and Milani expects from me and Elmer, we'll do it. We never grumbled. We never complained. Never. Never. I've never said this over the pulpit. I'm saying it now. They've never asked me to sin. Everything that they've asked me to do, I've done. I can say like the Apostle Paul says, I really did it. I'm not saying it to boast. Really? You get your phone call at 11:30, 11:30 in the evening. I say, Hercules, I'm on my way, my bro. I'm not there. Get the job done with joy. I'm not going to phone people at 11:30. Please, don't worry. I'm just saying, there's something that Elmer and I, we grasped. When we gave up so much and just being obedient to what God wanted us to do. I can tell you that. And it brings such blessing. Just to serve. In obedience to serve. And so, over the years, because of my obedience, I've met so many enemies. And it's the first time that I'm sharing this. There's so many people, even of my family members, that always thought I was doing it to be in. There was always people that thought I was doing it to look cool or to impress somebody. But that was never the idea. Always giving me and Elmer a hard time. Why are you doing this? Did you notice that they're white? Your colors. You know, Christians coming with silly talk like that. Family members, I'm sharing with you now from my heart. Since then, they've all disappeared. We're still here by the grace of God. I know people don't like it when I say that, but people, that's the truth. And I can tell you, the two of us, we're not perfect. I can tell you that we're not perfect. I can tell you about so many times how I just missed it with God. I just completely missed his voice. I just completely being disobedient to my wife, whatever. But one thing that I just desire, God, is in your grace, teach me how to get this thing done your way. God, I don't want to be the Frank Sinatra. I don't want to do it my way. And if people get really drunk at karaoke's, then they sing a whole lot of other nonsense. I did it sideways, that way. When they get drunk at karaoke, they sing all this nonsense. I don't want to do it any of those ways. There's a God way, and there's a my way. There's a way that your leaders and your boss expects you to do stuff. It doesn't mean that you can't disagree. You can disagree. Are you with me? I'm not talking about disagreements. I'm not talking about choosing career paths. I'm not talking about I have to make a choice between what is the best and what is the worst. I'm just talking about when somebody says, when your boss says, I want coffee, please, will you bring me a cup of coffee? Then you don't get the and the you don't do that. When I came to the Lord, I was a really arrogant man. Really, I was really arrogant, really obnoxious. So when I came to the Lord one evening, God just told me, Carlos, you must go. Now, we're in a really large school. It's more than 75 teachers at that school. So God just told me, I want you to repent. You must go to all three of the principals. And so I said, look here, Mr. Sansa, I'm so sorry for being arrogant and for making life difficult. I've made ruling over me really difficult, and I want to apologize. I'm at your service. And all three of them went really uncomfortable. No, we understand. No, we know when you're in your youth. You did. And then I just said, sir, this is something God has told me to do. And all I want to say is I'll honor you and I'll run with you. Jy kan op my nommer druk. And it was such a beautiful thing when that shifted me out. Some of us here need to do this. You maybe some of you don't know your dad. You don't know who your mom is. You don't know a lot. But there's just this thing in your heart. And you know it. It's not a thing where you don't honor them. You know it. Some of you, your boss, it's just the disrespect that you have. Some of the ladies here, you're doing it to your husbands. when he says the right stuff, something just jumps up inside of you. And you want to go all Greek by throwing the plates around. You go Greek on your husband. I'm challenging you this evening. We must get this thing right. What do you want to reap? What do you want to reap if this is what we're busy sowing? Obedience. And there's for some of us here, God has been calling you. You've never given your life to the Lord. You're sitting here, you just know Jesus said, kom my kind, jy moet jou bekeer. Jy moet jy sit, jy disobedient. Now's the time. It's nooit de rechte tijd om jou te bekeer, so dat vir ochend gehoor. It's nooit de rechte tijd om sel te lei nie. It's nooit de rechte tijd om soos Chrissy voor te praat. Die tijd sal altijd nooit reg wees nie. Maar ons moet dit nou doen. So look at, we believe in you, we see the potential in you, then we just push you. Swim, swim, go, go, do this. You just do it, just do it. God will bless you for it. I can tell you that. It's happened to me so many times. Jump, go, do, then I just do. Because it's a faith thing. It's about trusting what God has said to your leader and are you with me? So can we stand? Can the band come? Oh, I love what God is doing now.